Hi, everybody. This is Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 34. We had a little mishap on the last adventure. I was cut short because the local area server suddenly went down. But as I had done 55 minutes of the webinar, I decided to retain it, even though truncated, and to proceed from where we had come. We are on page 77. It may seem like we've made a lot of progress, but there were several pages in there that were simply blank pages in the book. We've been talking about triangles, the science of triangles, and we've been looking at three groups of centers. I also looked at six groups of centers from A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 169 and 170. This is a simplification here. We've been looking at man who lives below the diaphragm, the base of the spine, sacral and solar plexus center. Then we've been looking at a more advanced individual who is probably not yet the initiate or true disciple. Throat center, heart center, and ajna center. And then the ajna center, head center, and the center in the medulla oblongata, which tells us that this triangle in the head is activated, which occurs at the third initiation, and will open the third eye and will give unitive vision. And then the disciple is in the position of being able to make revelation of that unity. So that is the initiate consciousness. And that's just where, just about there, is where the recording just stopped. I was reading the following. Master DK says, unfortunately, the organizing principle is not as simple as the above tabulation would make it appear. For the emphasis, the focus, and the mode of arranging and of vitalization, and the appearance of these esoteric triangles varies with the ray type. And I was explaining that I think that is the monadic ray that is involved there. Always, there is the tendency for activation to proceed from the third aspect to the second to the first, but there are variations in activation. Every triangle has a first, second, and third aspect. And if you're on the second ray monad, the second, the point representing the third aspect tends to be unfolded almost as rapidly or as rapidly as the point representing the third aspect. And if you're on the if you're on the third aspect, it is difficult to unfold the love aspect of a triangle, and if you're on the, if you're on the third aspect, it's difficult to unfold the will aspect of a triangle, and if you're on the second aspect, it's difficult to unfold the intelligence aspect of the triangle, even though that always tends to be the first to unfold. So there are variations in these unfoldments, which depend upon particularly the monadic ray, and there are also various complex triangles, additional triangles, which were not mentioned in the triangles immediately above. As I say, this is a simplification. When we see these three groups, this is a simplification. The science of triangles of energy underlies the new esoteric science, both in astrology and in the science of Laya Yoga, or the science of the centers. So the science of Laya Yoga deals with the method of unfolding the centers on various planes, not only on the etheric plane, where it is probably most focused, but there is unfoldment of centers on the astral plane and even on the mental plane, and eventually and later there will be unfoldment of vortices or centers on the higher planes, even though they are not drawn into the charts, even though they are not drawn into our maps, yet they are hinted at when we are told that 35 vortices of force make a master. Okay, both this ancient yoga and the still more ancient astrological science. It is the, according to DK, the oldest and the greatest of the sciences. The still more ancient astrological science have now to be studied upon a higher turn of the spiral. Probably not the ultimate turn of the spiral, but at least higher than the way we have been considering it. Up till the present time, the teaching about the centers has been inherited from Atlantean times and couched in the old forms and formulas, which are basically unsuited to our present greatly advanced stage of development. And you might wonder whether some of the information that we have in the Hindu texts on the centers come into this particular category. When you read and you contrast the way DK presents the centers with the way they are presented in the old Laya Yoga books, though very interestingly, perhaps this basic defect is present. The same can be said, he says, of orthodox astrology, namely that we have old forms of presentation and newer ones are needed. Both these sciences, they are very closely related, the science of astrology and of Laya Yoga, because they are both dealing with the etheric substratum of life and with the centers. Every astrological factor is really a chakra in itself. We are dealing with greater chakras related to lesser chakras. So both these sciences must be reoriented and rearranged. And astrology must be based upon a deeper understanding of the relation of the planets, sacred and non-sacred, to the centers and to certain prominent cycles of polarization emerging as the foreordained result of periods of crisis. When we have a crisis, it gives us the opportunity to repolarize energy at a higher level of vibration. Suppose there's a battle between two centers going on, let's say the solar plexus and the heart center. That is our opportunity to repolarize energy in the heart center rather than in the solar plexus where it had been previously. So he says the last sentence embodies a basic and important statement of truth. So let us underline that. Okay, to the centers in certain prominent cycles of polarization emerging as the foreordained, predestined, expected result of periods of crisis. Periods of crisis are always periods of potential growth and a lifting of the human consciousness and the human energy system to a higher level of vibration and sensitivity. So we can welcome crises if we realize that there is a foreordained outcome to these crises. Now we have made it to page 78, and this section is called The Centers and Triangles of Force. There are, as you well know, five non-sacred planets and seven which are regarded as sacred, and this is including the synthesizing planets which are sacred and even perhaps more highly developed. Essentially, than the other sacred planets. The five non-sacred planets, beginning with the dense physical vehicle, the moon, the earth, etheric, Mars, astral, Pluto, mental, that's one way of looking at it, and the sun, the ahamkara, principle of the personality. At least that's a lesser way of interpreting the sun, but in accordance, perhaps, with the non-sacred second-ray planet, which it is said to veil. The 12 planetary lives, with their own cycles, both of rotation and revolution, points of crisis and moments of polarization. We have all of these as they are growing, and moments of polarization at certain levels are closely related to the seven centers. Now, I've shown you that map. It's a tabulation, really. It's on page 517 of the astrology book. Let's look at it very quickly here. This is, yes, I've shown this to you, and it's a good one to be able to reference, 517. Yes, here are the planets, and here is their relation for the average man, and for the disciple initiate, to the various centers. So average man, these are the relationships, and we have quite a few non-sacred planets in there, the Pluto, Earth, the Sun, and Mars, but not the Moon. And here, for disciples and initiates, the esoteric planets, these are the esoteric rulers, sacred planets, for the most part, although Pluto is included still at the base of the spine, and the centers to which they relate. Okay, 517 of Esoteric Astrology. So, repeating, these 12 planetary lives with their own cycles, points of crisis, and moments of polarization are closely related to the seven centers. The five centers up the spine are related to five non-sacred planets. I wonder if we can look at how that might be. But in unevolved or average man, our focus almost entirely upon the astral plane and in the astral body. Well, we do have astral centers. Generally speaking, from esoteric healing, they have rulerships which are somewhat at variance with the rulerships of the etheric planets. The etheric chakras. But let us take a look at how this might be. The center, five centers up the spine, so presumably that ends at the throat center, and here's how we would go. We would say that Pluto is the base of the spine. Mars, let's skip the sacral center for the moment. Mars is the solar plexus. The Sun is the heart. And Earth is the throat center. This leaves the Moon as related to the sacral center, and certainly that is the center of generation. That is not the way the planets are listed, because Uranus is given to the sacral center, but one can think of the instinctual Moon and the production of form and its relationship to Cancer, the sacral center contributing to the production of vehicles. So let us say that the Moon can be assigned to the sacral center. And then the others are pretty well as they are found on page 517. So the five centers up the spine are related to the five non-sacred planets. But in unevolved or average man are focused almost entirely upon the astral plane. So the astral centers are at least awakening, and these vehicles are active, these planets are active in relation to the astral centers, but not fully active, as it is only when we are really taking the second degree that we have a fuller activation and even a fourth dimensional rotation of the astral centers. Just the way there's a fourth dimensional rotation of the etheric centers, of some of them at least, at the first initiation, and presumably by extension a fourth dimensional rotation of mental centers on the lower mental plane at the third initiation. We have to see whether we're experiencing degraded audio again. I just have to let that go. With the hope that we will be able to continue this webinar. Okay. Right. at the third initiation, there are developments, the unfoldment of all nine petals in the egoic lotus, but probably some fourth dimensional rotation of the mental chakras. All right, it should be noted that two of the non-sacred planets, the Earth itself and the Moon, are connected with two centers, which in the higher, highly evolved man, are not of dominating importance. They may be of importance, but they are not of dominating importance. They are not dominant. They have been somewhat overcome. That is the spleen receiving pranic emanations from the planet on which we live, yes, and also, I would say, from the sun as well, but the spleen receiving pranic emanations from the planet on which we live, perhaps it is the planet mediates the prana from the sun, but it has its own earthly prana as well, and concerned with the etheric and physical bodies. So, although the Earth is the ruler of the throat center, it is also to be associated with the spleen center. Both the Sun and the Earth, which are in a way opposites, depending on your point of vantage. If you're standing on the Earth, the Sun is the opposite. If you're standing on the Sun, the Earth is in the opposite sign. They both are associated with spleen. There are two types of prana. One is solar prana, and the other is the planetary prana. The pores are especially involved in the planetary prana, but DK seems to be telling us that the spleen is also active in receiving pranic emanations from the planet. Are they the emanations of the planet itself, or are they their mediated emanations? In other words, the sun emanates the prana and the planet passes it on. Anyway, the spleen is concerned with the etheric and physical bodies and their physical relations. So that's the Earth, and what does it say about the Moon? The Moon is connected with a center in the chest related to the thymus gland. So it must be veiling a planet, I would say, in that connection. This center becomes inactive in the advanced man of intellect, presumably, but has a connection with the vagus nerve prior to the awakening of the heart center. And one wonders whether the planet Neptune is not sometimes connected here. There is also the idea of the reawakening of the thymus center in highly advanced individuals. In other words, it may be active in the child, and perhaps in early man, I'm not sure, and in advanced man it becomes inactive, but there is the sense that as we become truly intuitive, truly vital due to the vitalization from the soul, and in the later stages of our evolution, that there is a center related to the thymus gland which is reawakened. But it has a connection with the vagus nerve, prior to the awakening of the heart center. Well, the heart center seems to be very fully active in human beings with all types of polarization. But the real awakening comes later, and I think we should say that real awakening of the heart center comes later. And then this center is connected with the vagus nerve, but prior to the real awakening, because even astrally polarized man, early mentally polarized man, and so forth. Okay. Right. Okay, unfortunately, I'm going to have to terminate this recording, as it seems that for the second time today, there has been interference, but I will do my best to continue where we are, and still there is 20 minutes on this little recording. Okay, so this will be the sudden end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 34. Sorry.